Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, May 18th, 2008. This is episode 63, entitled Learning Your Alt. I'm your host, Aprilian, and with me is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Good morning, Aprilian. Finally. How are you?
Yeah, finally, yes. Well, let's get started.
How will this benefit me?
So, another week of World of Warcraft. How have you been?
I've been doing good. How about yourself?
I've been doing pretty good.
Yep. We finally got 2.4.2 this week.
Yes.
Another little patch. It's been bugging me for a few weeks now because we've been getting not just full maintenance but extended maintenance, which means it starts 2 hours earlier, which for me is 8 o'clock in the evening.
Oh yeah.
So Tuesday nights are pretty much no WoW night, which is. That's no fun.
No.
I like coming home and relaxing with a bit of WoW.
Yeah, it's 5 a.m. for me, and I don't have to be at work until, I don't have to leave for work until 2. So Tuesday mornings, I have to do stuff like housework and stuff around the house.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were doing, why they needed, you know, extended maintenance of all that time, you know, leading up to the patch. I understand on actual patch day, but it's done now. Hopefully we won't get too many more extended maintenances over the next few weeks and months.
So have you been enjoying patch 2.4.2? Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
it does. I haven't actually noticed that many differences. You know, I read the release notes and got excited about stuff like, you know, they've obviously been listening to the complaints of hunters with the new formula that they were using to calculate mana regeneration.
Okay.
So we've got a bit of a buff. Our Aspect of the Viper now grants additional mana every 5 seconds. So that's certainly helping out. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's certainly better than it has been since that patch that changed the formula.
Yeah, because I never used the Sting of the Viper because it, you know, by the time you drain enough mana, the person's, you know, still hitting at you. Yeah.
No, this is Aspect of the
Viper. Oh, Aspect of the Viper. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you probably don't have it yet.
No.
It's a high level one. It's actually one that helps your mana regeneration.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of
you don't,
something different.
Yeah, you're thinking of
Sting of the Viper.
Viper Sting.
Yeah.
To actually down the mob's mana. This is just about helping you regenerate your mana.
Okay. So that's one of the ones like Aspect of the Hawk and Aspect of the Cheetah.
Yeah.
Where you can have just one
So instead of. So you can't do quite as much damage because you can't have Aspect of the Hawk up. But, you know, that's better than not having any mana because a hunter without much mana is really not very useful.
Right, and most, I suppose that if you have that, you're probably Beastmaster, so you're just letting your pet do what it needs to do.
No, it's applicable for all talent trees.
Oh.
So. But I mean, it should. Yeah, it's helped me, so I'm sure that's a much better way to do it, given that the hunters really got nerfed. So I'm happy that they've kind of balanced out, you know, that now. And to throw into the mix, they're also now letting us tame those dire ravens up in Blajid's Mountain. I haven't got one yet, but...
The what?
New pets are always good.
Oh, yeah.
The dire ravens.
Oh,
you probably haven't seen those either because they're right at the top of Blajid's Mountain.
And the spore bats. I saw somebody
with... Oh, I didn't ask about spore bats.
Yeah, I saw somebody in Thunderbluff with a spore bat. I don't know it just looks cool because it floats like one of those, you know, rays. And I don't know what kind of, you know, whether... how it fights or anything, but it just looks cool. And The other thing I noticed was the indent in text now.
Hmm. Yeah. I saw that. It threw me for a bit, but it's. I think it's there to stop people abusing text, because what people used to do was like you'd calculate the text and simulate somebody else saying something on the next line. You can't do that anymore now because it gets auto indented.
I'm sorry, we lost you for a second. You calculate what?
So what people used to do, I mean, it was more just, you know, mischief making and more than anything. But, you know, you could actually type something out saying guild chat.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of what you type, you know, you do a few spaces to space it out to the end of your line. And then on the next, you know, then you keep typing and you know, you put in brackets, you know, guild and then somebody else's message. So it looks like they've typed it. But all you've done is space it out so that it appears on the next line.
Oh, but now you can't do that.
Now you can't because it's auto-indented, so they got rid of that problem, so that's good.
Oh, okay. Neat.
And the other thing that I noticed that's not in the patch notes is one of the dailies. It's the you pick it up in Chatrath, but you head out to Nagrand to do it. It's the multi-phase survey. It's a really cool quest because it's like, you know, a druid can do it in about 40 seconds flat. All you've got to do is put on these goggles and land next to these balls of fire and you know, click on the goggles and you do that six times and you used to get 250 rep and a shattered sunset pie bag, and the bag always had, you know, a level 68 green in it. And sometimes a badge of justice, which is a nice little purple item.
Mm-hmm.
They changed it and took away the you get more gold as a reward, but you don't get the supply bag anymore, and you only get 150 rep. So I think people must have just been doing that one over, you know, every day and ignoring the other ones. But it's disappointing that things like that can't make it into release notes. I mean, you know, they know what they've changed, so. There's every patch, you know, no matter how small, there's always a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't make it into the release notes.
Right. It's interesting, too, that they obviously have some team watching everything that, you know, goes on and making the calculations, you know, to change stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, a company their size, it's pretty unbelievable that, you know, they can't create... So there you go. I'm sure they do it deliberately sometimes.
I'm sorry, we lost you again. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm just going to keep editing. It's amazing that a company that size, go back to that point.
Yeah, it's amazing a company that size, you know, can't produce accurate release notes. You've got to wonder whether they actually just do it deliberately and you know, don't tell you about all the things that they change. But,
right.
You know, there you go.
See if you find it on your own or... What have you?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, how would all these websites that are out there documenting undocumented changes, that they'd have nothing to do.
Right.
They didn't have to go hunting for things that have changed.
Yeah. So let's get started with what we've been doing.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay, I'll go first.
I'm pretty sure it's your turn.
Well, I haven't been keeping as many notes as I normally do, so I'm just going to have to go by memory. The main thing that I've been doing is really, I spent a bunch of time trying to get Aprilian, you know, to 58. I did pause for some fun, because, you know, this is a game and we're supposed to have fun.
Oh,
yeah, and
really?
I decided to triple box Maradon because I had Aprilian had some quests, but you know, and I'm sure this is happening to everybody. You get some quests that are above you or red, or and before you know it, as you're doing other things and leveling, I mean grinding, you find that it soon turns green and then white. So these quests were, yeah, you know.
Gray.
Yeah, and then gray. So these quests were starting to get old for her. But I've never been to Maradon, so I wanted to go, and Adrian needed it. and it was still green or red for him. And so I brought Trishelle, and the first thing is, I could not find where it is. It's, you know, and I even did, you know, some Googling and did some searching and stuff, and everything just said, okay, when you get to Moradon, it's in Desolus. So I was actually, like, heading up around towards Ghostwalker Post, and then, you know, because when you look at the map, you know, the areas that you haven't been are, like, not filled in. So then I try to look on the map on the, you know, online. And finally, I figured out that I had to go through those hills that I'd never been through, when with the place where that that caravan hangs out. You got to make a left to go up in those hills.
No,
it's either further back. It's right by Shadow Spring Village.
You can either approach it from the east or from the south. You can actually get in both ways.
Okay. So I finally made it through. And, you know, it's really funny because you kind of get used to the fact that you got to take it slow and here's a mob and you got to aim. Well, once you get to a certain point, when you're above the mobs, then you don't have to worry about it. I actually had a Sheo and I'm sorry. I actually had Adrian and Trishelle following me on their mounts. Trishelle is still on her Brewfest ram, which she loves. And Adrian's on his chicken. And Aprilian would just be walking and, you know, getting all the mobs and doing all the looting. And she finally got up to the door of Moradon, which is really neat. You have to actually open the door. I don't know what happens if you don't, or, you know, I mean, well, I guess you can't get in. But you have to open the door and go in. And it's a little windy, and there's all these centaurs. And I love the way centaurs die. They're like, you know, and they kind of fall over. It's kind of neat. Right. Yeah.
They got a good cry.
Yeah, they do. And there's a few elites, and there's some regular ones and stealth ones. But it was pretty... It's just neat when you go into an instance you've never been in before. And I absolutely didn't do any research. And this is another one. Well, I guess most of them are the same. When you get into the there's like a pre-stage area that you have to fight through and that you share with other people, you know, Alliance and Horde. And, you know, then finally you get to the actual instance part. So have you ever been to Moradon?
A couple of times a long time ago. I've never actually done it as Horde. So it was a long time ago since I've been in there, and it's like I was kind of being guided, and so I didn't get to learn myself. Yeah. It's like, you know, there's all, you know, different coloured sections of it, but
I lost. I didn't get very far because I ended up wanting to get Aprilian back to grinding. And I know what happened. She had a mooncloth cooldown go off.
Right.
And so she got kind of...
You were in there for 4 days?
Well, no, she got one off at the...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, 3 days.
20. Yeah, that was the other thing. That was one of the things with the patch, is that the cooldowns changed. Even the four-day ones changed. But no, she had... I guess she was like maybe a day short of a cooldown going off, and so she had to leave, and she left Adrian and Trishelle in there and took off. And then once she went to Silthius to get the cooldown, she just started hanging out at the crater. Now, it was kind of neat because the crater is actually now, she's 55. She dinged 55 last week. And now the crater, now the crater is just a tiny bit low for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great for when I'm at work, because when I'm at work, I'm on the MacBook Air, and this can be a little bit lag. So, you know, there's less of a tendency of her getting killed if she's in an area where the mobs are in her green level. And I hadn't done the crater in a long time. And then when I...
Unless, of course, you aggro a devil saw from 50 miles off.
Yeah, Yeah, that happened once. And actually, I almost got him down, and I almost, because I have the Felguard, and the Felguard is just, it's just an amazing tank.
Yep.
And just, you know, takes and takes, and it holds aggro, and it just, you know, I could just keep dotting and shadow bolting. But then he got a pterodactyl on him, so that kind of took him down too. So, and then once he died, they both came to me, and I was dead.
squishy yeah. To squishy wallop. Yeah.
And then I'm having a problem because I have all these quests in my going simultaneously, and my bag is full of stupid quest items. I've got empty vials and books and things that I'm supposed to take to this person and body parts. And because what was I doing where I had the body parts? That was Genthalor. Genthalor. Where you go into that slime pit, you gotta get that.
Yep.
And then you gotta go get the other part. So, you know, you end up having to weigh now with this, and it's not a bad thing that you end up with all these different quests and all these gray areas, because it's mostly because you can now, you know, speed through your leveling because of the level increase, but you end up with so much stuff, and you just, I'm starting to get to the point where I just have to let quests go.
you can't really do them all.
Right, and you can't finish them all. And, you know, as long as you try, and you do get XP, so if you don't get to the... And some of the stuff in the crater, they're going to have to revamp, because there's one of them where you have to kill, like, 15 Matrodons, or Mastodons, or whatever they are, and 12 pterodactyls. That's a lot. You know?
Oh, quite to get to the grand. You have to kill 30 of every mob that's there.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing about Moradon that I realized I had to let go, because a couple of the quests are gathering quests. And it's very hard when you're triple boxing. You know, because now you got to get 3 times as many of each.
Yeah.
So I think I ended up leaving Maradon, but it was fun going there. It was fun getting in there. Instances are just really neat anyways. So
did you actually down any bosses in there, or were you just doing some trash?
I just did trash, and then, you know, I left. And but, you know, what was really nice was having Adrian with me, because when we killed a few mobs that he could skin, it was nice. It's really funny because I was out with I was in the crater doing the gorilla thing, and the nicest thing about being in a big guild is I ran into actually 2 different guildies while I was there, and we actually grouped and did some stuff. I want to give a shout out to Goldfin. She's been really fun to group with, and we seem to be leveling at the same level. So I ran into her in the hinterlands, and we did something, I think, and then I ran into her again in the crater. But it's very painful when you're out there and you're killing these gorillas, and you have to leave these corpses around because you don't have a skinner. You know, I'm thinking, all that nice leather just laying there. And I mentioned it to her, and she goes, yeah, and it's kind of messy too. Makes the place look dirty with all these.
Oh, look at triple boxing, then surely you've got...
Right, I wasn't triple boxing at the time. I was probably at work or something, so... And, let's see, so... I wasted time going out to Outland. Aprilian got up to 360 on tailoring, and... Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if there was anything she could train. And I should have noted it last time, but the trainer had nothing after 350. So I guess you just have to do recipes from there.
There's some stuff you can buy in Lower City.
Right, she did that. And, of course, now she has to wait till she's 58 before she gets the quests to specialize.
Right.
So, the rest of them, you either have to be one specialty or another. So I didn't realize it, and I went all the way out to Outland. But while she was in Thralmar, she saw a gold question mark. Thank God for patch 2.3. a gold exclamation mark. So she ran around and she found somebody who was giving her the report to Nazgrel, you know. And it's actually, you know, because she's doing things backwards because she's in Thralmar, but she hasn't gone through the portal yet. So technically what she would normally do is go through the portal, then, well, she would get the quest at the beginning of the portal, then go through, then go to that person over by the flight path. Yep. Get that quest to go to Thralmar and then get this quest. But because
you snuck in the back door.
Yeah. So she was very excited because she went over to Nazgrel. She got 4,750 XP. And then he was getting ready to give her the one that then you go to report to somebody outside of Thralmar. And she wasn't high enough, so she left.
That's funny that they did that. It's like, you know, every other time, if you're not going to be able to do it, it'll be a silver exclamation mark.
Right.
I'm not quite sure why they made that one different.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they didn't expect people to get out. So she ended up going back to the crater, and she's just a few levels shy of 50, I mean, a few bars shy of 57. She's been grinding away, and she started to do those crystal things. I don't know, though. That's an awful lot of work.
The crystal things.
You know, you pick up
Angora.
Yeah, you pick up those those crystal.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
An awful lot of work. That's the easiest experience points ever.
No. She did all the quests. She did the quest where you go to different points. But now, yeah, she turned that in. But now she's at the point where she now goes to get the buffs.
And
you have to have 10 of each.
No, I don't bother doing
that. Right, because she really doesn't need it now, because she's already doing pretty good with her Felguard, which, have I mentioned Aprilian loves her Felguard?
I do seem to recall something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, because she sends him out, she does a few dots, and he's like halfway through killing. In fact, you know, when she needs shards, soul shards, she has to be careful to get it right away because he'll have something killed. Of course, that's going to change pretty soon because she's going to be going to Suthius and, you know, it's going to be harder mobs.
You should be in the Outlands in a week or two.
Yep.
Cool.
Very excited about that. And the other thing I've been doing is, of course, playing the AH. Because, you know, it's fun to do and I need gold. Although, of course, once she gets to Outland, I'm thinking, I haven't decided yet about Trishel. Because, you know, I have the triple boxing. So Trishel is on one account. Aprilian's on another account. And Aunt Relia is on the other one. And Aunt Relia is on the account with Audrion. But Audrion's just 42, so it's not going to work. Which is, you know, funny because Audrion and Aprilian started at the same time. So I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and try to get Trishel in line so that, you know, there can be three across, but we'll see what happens. So I've been doing the neutral auction house, excuse me, mainly to get the pet market is going off again. It's just really funny because it comes and goes. Of course, during some of the events like Children's Week and the whole thing with the Brewfest and Valentine's Day. Nobody was interested in pets. They were getting all the neat little rewards from the special quests. But now it's the market's back. You know, I'm selling my horde pets on the Alliance market. And I got another one of those whispers, and then they sent me a note in the mailbox about where I got my black king snakes. And it's just funny because, you know, I'm putting these things up on the auction house to sell, and this has happened before. This was happened the last time in Stormwind where somebody was like, where do you get these pets? Please tell me. And I'm like, okay, well, if I tell you, then you'll get them and you'll be my competition. Yeah. So the person bugged me a few times, and then the last time they bugged me, they went, aha, I found out how to get them. Okay, good.
Good. Off you go.
So the only problem I'm having, and I mentioned this before, is that when I go to do the swap at the neutral auction house, somebody's using bottom scanner, and I had one of my one stack of nether weaves stolen. But the funny thing was, I know it's only been for me one person. And this is that, I think I mentioned her, and I actually gave her a shout out, I think, a couple of episodes ago. Her name is Tokomisha or something like that, and she's a level 8 rogue horde. Undead. Yeah, undead can be horde, can be rogues, right? Yeah. And she was in, it's funny because she was in, Gadgetstan, and I would always do a who to check where she was, and I did a who for her, and she was in Stranglethorn Vale, but I checked all the auction houses, and I didn't see her, so I thought maybe she was traveling through, maybe she was over at Grom Call or something, so I went ahead and put the nether weave up, and she snatched it. She snatched a stack of money. Yeah, so what it is, it's this kid. I know for a fact because she talks about doing her homework or something. And she's just sitting there doing something else on her computer, and she's got bottom scanner running in the background. And then she hits the button whenever it dings and buys stuff. Yeah. And she says she almost does it automatically, so I'm thinking she might even have some kind of macro.
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly.
Yeah. So she actually gave it back to me, but I said to her, I looked for you before and I do this. And I didn't bother to say it's only her because I don't want her to get upset with me and not give me my stuff back, which, you know, I mean, I guess I should be grateful that she's giving me her stuff back. But she went, oh, yeah, I'm doing really good. Last night I got 16 primals and lay thing? What is that? It's a blue item, something of lay. Lily of lay. Yeah. Oh. I know. And I'm like, you little dirty dog. She's bragging about what she's got, but what she's doing, she's stealing from poor people. Can you imagine if you were trying to transfer over 16 primals? I don't know. I forgot which kind they were. And she snatched them from you? You know, or if you were trying, and the Lily of Lay, that's at least a $60 gold. It's a necklace that gives good, intellect and spirit. Because I know I wanted to get it on Trishelle when she was a level 40-ish hunter. So I looked for her. Well, no, she had my stack of netherweave. And she said she would give it to me, so I ran to where I thought she was. She was hiding. She was in the one that's, you know, now that she was in Booty Bay. And you know how now there's like 3 auction houses? Which is kind of confusing.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Yeah, there's one around the corner by the waterfall, right off of the dock when you first get off the boat past the marketplace. Then there's one in one of the buildings. That was the first one that was there. And then there's one down by the mailbox and the bank. But she was in the one that's in the building. But she wasn't just in there. She was over in the corner, ducked down behind a bookcase, between the wall and
sneaky
a bookcase.
Bugger.
Yes, very sneaky. So, I don't know. I think I've mentioned this before. I think it's bad. It's poor sportsmanship, you know. I said to her,
she's on my friends list. I won't be doing any neutral aging while she's on.
Right, yeah. And I said to her, you know, maybe you might just think about waiting 30 seconds before you click the button. Because if somebody's just trying to transfer something over, you know. But of course, some people just want to take advantage of a situation. And I'm sorry if I sound bitter. but it's just...
That's because you're bitter.
Yes, I am. And I guess, you know, I'd love to hear if anyone else has any similar problems on, because this is just on Earth and Ring, and, you know, every server has to be a little bit different, you know. I mean, I can't imagine that there's some player on every server that's similar to this, or if there's something worse, you know, there's like a battle of the bottom scanner, bottom feeder, bottom scanner. Mm, look at that. Those two phrases are awfully similar. So if you have a similar situation, drop us a line at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. And we'd like to hear about it. You can also comment on our blog. There's a little section at the bottom of each page of show notes for comments. And let us know if you think that they're bottom feeders or just taking advantage of people. And let's see. So, and I also had to make a decision with Aprillion, where I had an 18 bag. What's that? The imbued netherweave bag. And she had mostly 16s. And she was running out of space. So I went to the bank and I said, okay, well, what if I buy another slot in the bank? And, you know, because I just hate when I swap out a bag, especially when it's something that at one point I know I paid a lot of money for, and then I just have to sell it for one goal. So I said, okay, I'll buy one more slot because she's really running out of space. And I found out that all the new bank slots were 25 gold. Weren't they more? I'm trying to think.
They did change it a while ago.
Yeah.
They used to be more.
Yeah.
It might have even, a while ago, it might have even been Burning Crusade.
Right.
So whether they've actually changed it again, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so that was kind of neat. That was a kind of a neat surprise to just go up and pay 25 gold. And I put in my old 16 slot into that and gave her the 18. I really would like to do 20, 20, 20, but that's just crazy.
Yeah, you can manage it a bit better than that.
Yeah, and it's like that. What's that guy that talks about the briefcase? No matter how much space you have, the amount of stuff you produce will expand to fill whatever new space you get.
There's lots of rules like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's been fun, and I'm really excited because I really want to get Aprillion to 58 and go into Outland. And, you know, I know what else I did. That's what I want to mention. I did actually just go to different alts and just take whatever I had stacked in their inventory that I thought could make some money, and I just dumped a bunch of stuff on the AH. I made tons of money. I must have made yesterday about 100 gold. So if you're worried about not making money, just check the AH and check what you have, and, you know, don't vendor everything automatically, and you'll make money. I mean, you know, it can happen. So, what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I started off the week really well, actually. Ashaya went raiding in Serpent Shrine Cavern, and we actually downed Hydros, so the first boss in there.
Oh, congratulations.
We wiped a few times first, but that's the first time I've been in a raid where we've actually downed the boss in there, so that was a good feeling.
Any good loot?
I didn't get any good loots from it, but that's all right. It's a good enough feeling just to actually get a boss down for the first time. So it's a fairly it should be an easy fight, but you know, things go wrong. This particular boss, it changes form several times during the fight. You've actually got to drag it across between two flags, and it switches between a poison form and a water form. And what happens when you actually drag it across those flags, it completely drops all aggro. So if you've got, you know, if a warlock's got dots up on it or something, when the tank drags it across the flags, the he'll aggro on the warlock and, you know, start wiping the raid. And what actually happened a couple of times, which was really annoying, was shamans had put down a couple of totems, and the totems pulled aggro, even though we've got dismiss your totems, we're about to drag across. And it's like, oh god. One time we got him down to 1%. He was down at 1%. And he must have been, it seemed like forever, it must have been like about 30 seconds, I reckon. He's at 1%, and there's like, you know, three people left alive, and we wiped. And it's like that. Oh god, so frustrating. But we got him. It was good.
Good.
Eventually.
Now the trash mob in there, when you loot them, you must get some nice stuff or some gold. Are you still getting copper?
Yep. Yeah. We get gold, and there's like the coil fang armaments.
Oh, okay.
I can't say that word.
For the rep.
Too late for me. For rep, yeah, for Cenarian Refuge. There's other things that drop, but most of the time it'll be on Master Loot. So, none of the stuff that drops off the trash isn't going to be an upgrade for anybody that's in there. You know, you've got to have good gear to be able to down even the trash. They can be quite tricky as well.
Oh, cool.
What
kind of gear you went in with? Which one did you go in with?
Nightlife.
No. I mean, which character?
Oh, Shaya. Yeah, Shaya.
Oh, and is she all in purple?
Yeah. She got a whole bunch of trinkets that sometimes, you know, depending on what boss you're on or what you're actually fighting, I'll switch back to a green trinket. But just depending on what you need. But yeah, all the gear is purple. You've pretty much got to have been pretty good car gear in order to get through SSC. So,
the question though is it all coordinated? Because you know she is a blood elf, so. Do you even look at the color?
It's largely coordinated, okay. Yes, because most of it's the tier set.
Oh, okay,
warlock,
so it matches. Yeah. Okay,
it all matches.
Yeah. What else is?
And then I went in with into Manitombs with some guildies with a shield, just DPSing. And got some practice. It's been a while since I've purely acted as a DPS priest on the priest and without dual boxing her. So that was good. Zoom through Manitombs
Wait a minute, start off again.
Nice upgrades.
Go back. You zoom through Manitombs.
Yep, so we zoomed through Manitombs. We had a 70 healer in there helping us out, and got all the quests done in there, got a couple of nice upgrades, ding 65 while I was in there.
Oh, cool.
So that was exciting.
What is the shield?
I was trying to get to... Sorry?
What level is the shield?
Well, he's 65 now as well.
Oh, okay.
He was 64, so...
Okay.
The priest is about half a level ahead now.
Okay.
It's harder and harder to actually stay a level ahead when you need so much experience to get to the next level once you're up into your 60s.
Okay.
I went out into Terrakar with them both a couple of nights this week and ground through all the quests out in Terrakar and got them up to 65. There was a couple of new spells at 65, but you know, nothing fantastic. But what does actually open up at 65, which I went and did but didn't complete, which is really annoying today, is a chain of quests in the Grand called the Ring of Blood, which many people will be very familiar with. A five-man quest to kill a whole bunch of elites. It's kind of like a pit You know, so you talk to this NPC outside it, and you know, you challenge. You know, you start the quest, and it's basically a challenge to fight different mobs in this pit. And there's six different mobs you need to fight, and the quest rewards after killing the last one are actually really quite nice. Certainly a very nice staff upgrade for the priest.
So are you fighting together?
Well, there's five people in the party.
Oh,
And other people, you know, just outside of the party can help kill as well, because, I mean, you're just out in the open. It's not an instance or anything like that.
Okay. That's neat. It's kind of like when you go out to...
That helps.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go out to Duskwallow Marsh, to where... who's that chick whose necklace you have to get in ZF? You know, and when you do the warlock quest, you have to fight the Felguard or whatever. But anybody around can help you. So, kind of neat when that happens.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And when I got out there, there was actually a couple of alliance standing around, and then they were obviously trying to form a group to get it done. And so a bunch of guildies came out and helped me, and I completed them all. So, like, we killed all six mobs, and I actually completed handed the quest in on a shield on the priest and got my staff. And I was looking at the quest rewards for the paladin, and it wasn't really so obvious that really all I could use was either a healing mace, which, you know, I'm not a healer, or a two-handed axe. And, you know, as a tank,
you want a shield.
And a shield. That's right. Shield has a shield. Funny about that. So I thought, I don't know. I'll think about it and decide later. And the alliance, a couple more of the alliance had rocked up, and they started doing the quest. And I thought, oh, they helped me, so I'll help them. So I jumped in there and started helping them, and they got to about the fourth one, and their tank died, and I couldn't hold aggro, and it wiped all the alliance and turned around and killed me.
Oh.
I thought, never mind. I'll go back and help them again.
Yeah.
So I run back to my body and res up, and there's this yellow exclamation mark on my screen. I thought, what's that? And I go back over to it, and it's an exclamation mark to do the last part of the quest.
Oh.
I went, what? I've completed it, you know. I was just about to hand it in. And looked in my quest log, and it's in there as failed.
Oh, no.
What?
Because you didn't turn it in, and because you went in.
Because I didn't turn it in.
And you went and helped them. No good deed goes unpunished.
So I was like, that's the last time I'm helping any dirty scum alive.
See, there's a lesson to be learned.
But I mean, what I don't get is it's a quest chain, and there was like this six parts to this chain.
Right.
I wasn't fighting, you know, the mob that I had to kill last in order to complete this quest.
Mm.
It was some mob that I'd killed for a quest, you know, three quests ago.
Wow, that's interesting.
So why on earth should me dying after having completed a quest mean that, you know, it's suddenly gone from completed to failed? So I was really annoyed at that, and I opened a GM ticket, and, you know, waited a while, and it's like got no response. I don't want to go and do my daily, so I logged out and logged into a Sheo, and about an hour later, a GM actually whispered me on a Sheo, and that's the first time that's happened as well.
Oh.
It's like that, you know, I thought if you opened a ticket and logged out, normally they just mail you, but he actually saw that I was on an alt and whispered me on the alt. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed with that, but I explained my problem, and he went, yeah, well, you should have handed it in. Bad luck.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Come on. This is ridiculous. So
it's a learning experience.
Lesson learned, people. Don't do anything else until you've handed in. Don't sit there with quests completed, because you can fail them even though you've completed them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to me, that's just a bug. That's just ridiculous. But they're obviously not going to do anything about it. So now I'm going to have to round up a bunch of guildies and help me do it again.
Or maybe some alliance will help you. No, okay, sorry. Speaking of which, we do need some alliance balance on our podcast. And I'm really going to say, I'm sending out a call to anybody who's alliance and listens. And I would love to hear from some alliance people because it would make it a little bit more balanced. Although, you know, I was listening to a couple of other podcasts. I might put them in the show notes. And there are, believe it or not, podcasts where the people who are talking about, you know, who are the hosts, are alliance only. Can you imagine that?
I don't understand.
I know.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they just play alliance, and they actually don't know much about the horde, so they're doing the complete opposite. Oh, and I'm hoping to hear from Glanther. If I hear from Glanther before I finish editing this week's segment, I don't know if you've noticed, but a couple of times Asheo's mic has gone off a little bit, so there's going to be a little bit of editing. Hopefully I'll get it all, but I might not be able to remove all the little sounds. But
so
Glanther,
problem mic.
Yeah.
Is there?
Glanther, I spoke to him last night, and he's got his epic mount. Yay, what? Glanther.
Congrats.
Yeah. Or as somebody says in our guild, and it took me a long time to figure this out, dancing rodents. Did you figure that one out? It's conga rats. People are so clever, especially in our guild. So dancing rodents means conga rats or congrats or woot. And he says it's pretty, and he loves it. But now he's on to something else, so he's going to try to do us a segment. So if he does one, I'll stick it in here at the end.
Excellent.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention is we did put a blurb on the instance, and they played it. So if you found your way to Control Alt Wow via listening to that little blurb on the instance, welcome to Control Alt Wow. Yeah. We're not as pithy as Randy and Scott, and we're definitely not as knowledgeable as Randy. Randy awes me in so many ways because he knows a lot. But
he knows stuff.
Yeah, he knows stuff. But we spend a lot of time playing our alts, and that's what Control Alt WoW is all about. So, what else have you been doing?
Well, I finished my week off by getting exalted on a show with the Shattered Sun Offensive.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was a good achievement. Which that I can use.
And I lost you.
A whole bunch of stuff.
I lost you again. It was a good achievement.
Oh, you lost me again. Yeah, no, I even exalted as a warlock. There's a nice neck piece, but I'm not yet exalted with scryers. So it doesn't really, you know. It's not better than what I've already got. There's also a buff to a headpiece, and I won't be replacing the enchant that I've got on my headpiece. So really nothing there for me apart from going, yay, I got exalted. So
right.
I need to do it on what I really should have concentrated on is getting it done with Jekyll and Hyde. Because they're actually alchemists and jewel crafters, and there's some nice patterns, designs, and et cetera, for them to pick up. So I'll get that done in the next week or so. And that's really about it. I haven't done a lot with my mages this week. I've spent a bit of time leveling my enchanting now that they ding level 20. They're building up a nice healthy amount of rested XP for me to attack into in the next week.
Yeah, I haven't been on my mage at all. I really need, I've been focusing on Aprillion. Oh, you know what else the patch brought, which was kind of neat? You can now put Mithril Spurs and shield spikes and weapon chains on yourself without being a blacksmith. Yep. So, Vale put my blacksmith put some on my enchanter blacksmith put some on the auction house. I'll see how that sells. I haven't checked it yet lately. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, it could be interesting because there could end up being a lot of mithril spurs on the auction house and flooding the market, or there could be a few and she could actually make some money.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, you know, they were worthless before. I mean, they were selling for like a gold.
But do you think that
the mithril sells for more than that?
Right, but do you think that was because you had to find a blacksmith to put it on? I don't know. I'm dying to see what will happen with Wrath of the Lich King when you can make your enchants a scroll. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Is that definite or is that a rumor?
That's a rumor.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody wanted that, you know, forever. So
yeah.
It would really be nice if they did that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and yeah, leveling enchanting on my mage today. I mean, I sent out a couple of guild messages saying you know, free enchants, you know, wherever I can do these ones, I'll get a skill up. You know, a couple of people said yeah, but I mean, really, I mean, you're running around forever,
yeah,
getting to people and to do the enchants and it's just too slow. So I just, you know, I just bought a crappy shield off the auction house and enchanted that 20 times and got 20 points.
Yes, but that's not green. That's not Azeroth green because you're wasting.
Well,
yeah, but that's the best way to do it. Unfortunately,
otherwise it just takes forever. I mean, you know, if you were really if you didn't have a lot of gold, it was your first character, well, then you shouldn't be doing enchanting anyway. But
right.
Yeah, if you are, then standing around in Orgrimmar and doing enchants and trying to make some money off tips is probably a better idea. But yeah, I got better things to do with my time than doing that.
Plus, so, you know, advertising and trade is so hard because people keep talking in trade and it drives me crazy. And I ended up ignoring so many people that I ran out of people to ignore. Although I think they expanded that a little bit because I noticed I could still ignore somebody after the last patch when I thought I had ran up all my ignoring. Plus, the gold sellers are back again, and that's unfortunate.
Yes.
But
I used to only get whispers on, you know, low level. Ungilded alts. Now I'm getting whispers on everybody.
Yeah, and I'm noticing simultaneous whispers. When you triple box, you know, you notice that like sometimes both. But I'm reporting them because I'm hoping the reporting does something. And it's so easy.
Doesn't seem to be, but yeah, I'm reporting.
Yeah, you just right click on the person's name and bam, you're there. Sorry, we lost you one more time. What did you just say?
Yeah, I was just agreeing that it's so easy to report that, you know, I don't think it's actually doing much, but you never know. So, yeah, I'm reporting them all as well.
Plus, it does do the thing where sometimes they are actually spitting out a spam and then doing it again, particularly in trade. So if you do report them, at least you block that one. Yep. All right. So we do have an email. Is there anything else we want to cover before we go on to the email?
No, that's been my week.
Well, you know, learning your alts, I guess there's not a lot to say about it. It's very obvious. I did take up a newsletter. I think I talked about it last week, Advisors, Azeroth Advisor. And it's $5 a month. And I don't know, it might be a little bit too much for most people, but what's kind of neat is it does cover all my alts. So it's not like I'm paying $5 more for each account. And it's turning out to be kind of neat. I'm finding a little information. And basically, you know, if you were more adventurous and wanted to spend some time surfing the net, because, you know, the internet has so much information about World of Warcraft. It's really funny.
It's all out there.
Yeah. I do, you know, I have the Google search in Firefox. And whenever I go in to type something, the World of Warcraft version comes up automatically first. So it's, you know, it's kind of interesting because it means that there's so many people. The way Google works is that the more people that look for information, stuff rises to the top. So it's obvious that there's a lot of people in World of Warcraft who are using Google to search for things like, you know, weird, random stuff, portraying to like seeping things that you're looking for your quests and stuff. So it's, right. It's kind of neat. Yeah. But I might change.
From a dual boxing point of view, mm-hmm. and I think I've said this before, the way that that I recommend that people do it is, you know, I don't think you pick up World of Warcraft and start. Quite a few characters by the time you pick up dual boxing.
Right. You don't start dual boxing right away. Yeah.
Yeah. So I strongly recommend dual boxing, you know, two characters that you've leveled before. So that, you know, you're not trying to learn that class while you're actually dual boxing, because it is a lot harder. You know, only spending half your time looking at one character. And having to swap between them and remembering all the new spells that you get. I mean, if you were you're leveling, you know, two classes that you hadn't played before, I think it would be a lot harder to become a good player of that class. And even, I mean, you know, as an alcoholic that's, you know, doesn't have, you know, one or two mains that you know, spend a whole heap of time on and do PvP and everything, I think the old, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, is really applicable. I don't think I'm an expert at any of the classes that I play. You know, but you know, you just pick up little tricks for each class along the way.
Yeah,
I think that's the fun way to do it. I mean, you know, I don't want, you know, all the tricks handed to me on a platter. I like discovering, you know, new things. And that's happened with the paladin because, I mean, this dual boxing with a paladin. I haven't leveled a paladin before, and I haven't really read up on macros and tips and tricks and things that you're supposed to do. I've just been trying everything and seeing how it goes, and it's I think it's a lot more fun that way.
And also, I find that if you actually take the time to hover over your different little things, it's read the tooltips. Read what it says, because it's usually you'll find something interesting.
Yeah.
So
the thing with, I guess, the thing really with dual boxing is, you probably, you know, you get into a groove of using particular spells to fight mobs, and you're not really using, you know, the full breadth of all the spells that you can use. You know, like on my paladin, I rarely use any of the shields. If I'm about to die, you know, blessing of sacrifice to save a wipe, they're just not things that I really use. So I really need to get out there and solo with it to get a better handle on a wider variety of the spells that's available, because there's a massive amount of spells with paladins. I mean, you know, so many different seals that you can cast.
Yeah, and the other thing is, don't be afraid to respec. I think I'm going to, not respec as much, but I'm going to retrain my pet on Aunt Melia, because I had her. Oh, and that's the other thing I did. I needed some leather. Aprilian was making nether weave boots or something. And she needed some knot hide leather. Oh, did you get the heavy knot hide leather I sent you? you sent me a bunch.
Probably on a character. Yeah, you sent me a bunch. Probably on a character I haven't logged into for
a
while.
No, it was a shield. But you sent me a bunch on Real Fire, and I hadn't logged into her for a while. So, anyways, you'll get that. So, I went out with Real Fire and Aunt Melia into Bout by Falcon Welch just to get some leather, some knot hide leather. I know I could have just gone into the auction house, but when you have alts, it's just so much, it just feels so much more satisfying to go out and get it yourself. So I went out, and it was funny because Real Fire is 60 and Aprilian, I mean, Aurelia is 63, and Realfire has a Ravager, not a Ravager, the two-headed bird, the vulture from Outland. Do you know which one I'm talking about? The two-headed, I forget the name. But anyway, she has a two-headed bird, and Aurelia has Iki, the level 16 elite, not elite, but special mob from the Barons that she's leveled up. And he's 63, but he doesn't have Growl. And when I was leveling, I just had him in the stable, and I pulled him out recently. And I didn't realize that, I think you were the one that told me, that I needed Growl for my pet to hold aggro. And Aurelia never trained Growl on Ikea. So the level 60 buzzard that Realfire had was actually holding more aggro than the level 63 Ikea that Aurelia had. And so I went to teach him Growl because, you know, Growl doesn't require any points and he can't learn anymore.
Right.
But it's kind of silly because he's got stuff like Prowl, which I like because it looked neat because he can stealth. But you know what? Prowl, the neatness of Prowl wears off really fast because now he takes forever. Plus, if she does any running, she loses him. So I'm going to go back to the trainer and retrain. And this will be the first time, so it shouldn't be more than a gold. And then give him Growl and lose Prowl or Stealth or whatever that was.
My first hunter that I ever had, had Prowl. And, it's cute, but it's not really practical.
No. Looks good, but doesn't give you anything. So anyways, we just have one email. We have an email to read, not just one. We have an email we're going to read. Did you want to read it or you want me to?
Oh, it's a long one, but I can read it.
Okay. And it's for Glanther. So Glanther, you know, respond.
Glanther, listen up.
Yeah.
This is from Orion. Dear Glanther, I listened to episode 58 today while questing my orc hunter and I heard you speak about bad pugs and good pugs. I feel I have to take issue with a couple of things that were said. First of all, the myth of predominantly adolescent alliance is just that, a myth. There are just as many children playing on the Horde side as there are on the Alliance side. I play on both sides. You can easily have a good or bad experience on both sides. That good or bad experience can be brought on by adults or adolescents. What you have to keep in mind is that even though we all know it's a game, it requires a great deal of time. It's more of a hobby or a pastime than a game of checkers. Time is something of value to almost everyone and should be respected. Though WoW is just a game, many people become extremely serious about how their time is spent. Some people, in particular children, have limited amount of time they can play. Really harsh when they feel someone is wasting that time. Second, we hunters are often some of the worst players in the game. People will call you a hunter and boot you on the Horde side just as quickly as they will on the Alliance side. There's lots of us hunters, and the vast majority suck. Playing a hunter is very easy. Playing a hunter well is extremely difficult. There is a reason the word huntard exists. Few hunters understand the mechanics of their pets, and fewer still actively manage their pets during gameplay. Most hunters use the same pet for everything. I keep a black lion for PvP and a white lion for raiding, specking very differently. One of the things I'm extremely careful about is pulling aggro off a tank. You need to develop a feel for it. Wait for the tank to get moddable sunders in before you allowing your pet to join the fight. Get an aggro monitor tool, such as Omen, to watch. And if you and or your pet start to creep up there in aggro, back off. Feign death. Pull the pet back. Also, as you indicated, in an instance, turn Growl off. Since Burning Crusade, we've had a talent called Misdirection that can be used to dump even more aggro on the tank as well. Let the tank gain aggro, cast Misdirection on the tank, then send your pet in and fire. Though it may seem like a rude comment from your pug leader, learning to trap, chain trap, and kite is best done outside of an instance. It's more fun, no pressure, and you don't risk screwing up an instance for everyone else. For fun, see how far you can kite some wacky mob out in the non-instance world. It's great practice. Just the other day, I kited Volkon, a 60 elite monster, and a 58 elite dragon out of the Burning Steps and into Red Ridge. I was in no danger of dying from the two, but the idea wasn't about defeating them and surviving. The exercise was to see how long I could keep both of them on the kite string, how far I could bring them, and managing their aggro. The fun part is when all the lobies look up and see giant monsters show up in Red Ridge. The Hunter is one of the few classes you don't learn to play in a week or a month. You don't learn to play it just because you made it to level 70. The Hunter's abilities are subtle. Be prepared to be criticised repeatedly as you learn to play your Hunter. If you want easy mode, roll off. When you see a good Hunter, it's a thing of beauty. Orion.
Oh, wow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Right, Maya. Thank you, Orion. That was a fantastic letter, and you brought up some really good points. Yes, yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm sorry?
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, yes, there are good pugs and bad pugs on both sides. And yes, the Alliance aren't always kids. But, you know, I never thought about the part about the time. That's a very good point to bring up.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's more of a hobby and you are investing time. In fact, that's the currency of World of Warcraft, I think, more than anything. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, one of the frustrating things, you know, when I was in a raiding guild, to spend so much time in the trying to get the raid up and going, and you know, waiting for the handful of people that repeatedly, time after time, would turn up late, or you know, and go, oh, hang on a minute, I just need to hearth and repair, or I haven't got my reagents yet, you know, or I'm just finishing this, I'll be there soon. And so, yeah, I mean, that's that's just as applicable, you know, when you're trying to do instances and you know, you're waiting on somebody. You know, it's not fair if you've got to sit around and wait for somebody and you can't do anything else. You know, and you could be off doing much better things and making better use of your time. So
I tell you, Orion really has me thinking with this email. One of the things I'm really impressed with was the idea that of using different pets. I mean, you know, I just get a pet and that's my pet.
No. You definitely need. Like, I've got a turtle for when I'm out soloing. So yeah, he's basically my tank. But when I take hide into an instance, you know, I take in a cat that's spec for DPS.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't need a pet. So yeah, you definitely need at least two. And if you're PvPing, then yeah, probably three.
I know. I mentioned Ikea. I did PvP with a lion with with Prowl, and that was kind of neat because he did sneak up on somebody, and you know, but still, that's a lot of time. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, we appreciate the email, Orion.
But the other thing about the mail,
okay.
I couldn't agree more about being that the hunters are easy to play, but you know, a really good hunter is hard to find.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some really good hunters in our guild, and you know, they know the class very well. I mean, I consider myself quite an average hunter. They are, quite a subtle class to play, and I'd have to agree that warlocks are probably easier to play than a hunter.
Well, yeah. Of course, the main advantage to warlock is you don't have to feed your pet. That can be very advantageous. All right, so we're going to wait and see what Glantha has to say, and we would like to hear from anyone else who would tell us how they play how they deal with alts. And, you know, again, the email is controlaltwow@gmail.com. And I think that's about it.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, and until next week, this is Aprilian. For the Horde.
And I'm Ashayo for the Horde.
I'm always on the winning side.
Hello, Aprilian and Ashayo. Thank you for letting me submit this post onto Controlled Alt WoW. So, it's been a pretty exciting past couple of weeks for me. I finally was able to get my epic mount. It is a purple swift griffin, and they are very fast. It is nice. I can still get to certain places faster if I take the flight master or the flight path. But for example, between Shatrath City and certain parts of Nagrand, it's actually quicker for me to just go from Shatrath to Talar by going with my own mount and not having to use the flight path, which is kind of cool because I can finally, you know, adhere to that phrase as the crow flies, because those flight paths can be kind of all over the place, and it's great for getting in between interzones super quick. And I recommend it highly to people that are holding out on getting their epic mount, and if you spend a lot of time in Outland, definitely worth it. And I love how even when you're running on the ground, it's still like a 100% speed increase mount. So even if you don't feel like flying everywhere, you can still kind of run around. And I love the way that the griffins run. They run kind of floppy, I guess is the best way to kind of describe it. They look so awkward on the ground. They really are not meant to run around on the ground. They're meant to fly. But that was very exciting. I also have been doing a lot of dailies. So that's how I got most of my gold for the epic mount. I spent a lot of time in Isle of Kildaras, and I can get about 150 gold every day that I go there, and it only takes me about an hour to do that, and that's really nice because it's allowing me to work with my other alts. And basically, Galanther is the breadwinner, the grand patriarch of the family, who then goes and gives an allowance to all the other alts. And so it's a lot of fun to be able to do things with the lower level alts and to level them and things like that without having to worry about actually going off and grinding. I can level Alaris's, for example, first aid. I leveled him all the way to 375 without having to do any kind of grinding, because Galanther would just send him money and he can go onto the auction house, and he can just buy the materials and make them that way. So very, very, very much, a lot of fun that way. It lets me do a lot of things. I've also been kind of involved with a great guild, Lions of Lazarius. I think I finally found a guild that I really like. It's mature players. It's a role-playing guild, but it's very loosely role-play. The one rule that the guild has is that if you talk out of your character, you can just put parentheses around what you're saying. And so there's often a lot of parentheses discussions going on. But even then, there's still mature conversations, which is really nice. And the guildmaster was really nice. He loaned me, or he gave me a gift of 450 gold to finish off my epic mount, because I told him I was a few more days, you know, of dailies, I'd finally get it, and he gave me that gift and gave me a promotion. So I'm now at the lowest level of an officer that you can be in that guild, and I can still do my solo play, and I don't have to worry about too much work. It's a very loose guild, but the people there are really kind of, they're very, very fun. So in terms of gold, what I'm doing with my gold now that I have my epic mount, I've been working a lot on leatherworking. And I've been trying to get my leatherworking up, and I finally got it past 300. It only took me about 3 hours to do it. I went to Winter Spring, and I farmed the Yeti that are down by Everlook. And that gave me a lot of rugged leather, and I was able to get to 300 using just patterns you buy off of any leatherworking profession trainer. And then I was able to go to Honor Hold, and I was able to get the Master Leatherworking, and now I'm making kits that give +8 stamina, and I'm going to be doing that until like 340 or 340, 350, and then I'm going to start trying to do that final push to get my leather working at the max. And I've also been sending a lot of my gold over to Alaris. Alaris You know, he switched back and forth between Protection Paladin, Holy Paladin, and, you know, it gets expensive to respec each time. But I think I may eventually be a Holy or Heliodin Paladin with Alaris. But when I went to spec him for Holy at level 48, it was very difficult for me to actually go and do quests and play, you know, by myself, not in a group, because I don't have very high spell critical rating, and I don't have a lot of mana, and I was just dying a lot. And even if I wasn't dying, it was taking way too long to kill a mob. I'm not used to. Being a hunter, you know, which is the easy button. I'm used to like blasting through mobs, even mobs at the same level as me. So I respect him back to protection. I'm going to level him as protection. So I'm not going to do any group modes because I'm pretty sure I'll be a terrible tank, because I don't really see myself having great gear for a very long time. But I'll definitely, you know, use that just because it's, you know, easier to take multiple mobs at once, and it's also just a lot easier to stay alive when you have a mob coming, and I have the spells that give you shield. Like the shield, Holy Shield, and Redoubt, and I have the Retribution Aura, so basically every time I block, the, you know, mob takes, you know, 200 something damage, or like roughly 200 damage. I also have a Mythal Spike on that shield, so it's very, I like having them basically kill themselves just by trying to kill me, and I kind of sit back and just kind of whistle while they hack away, and I block, and it's a lot of fun kind of watching that go down. And I've also been thinking about maybe dipping back into the Horde. I have Palinor, who's my level 22 mage, and I have Mortlant, who's my level 14 warlock, undead warlock. And I really feel like I should play a character to a higher level on the Horde side, because there is like another whole half of the game I have not played yet. My problem is that I just don't like Kalimdor very much. It's why one of the reasons why I've never been able to play a Night Elf, because I just like the Eastern Kingdom so much more. And it's just it's a stupid thing, but I just find myself having more fun in those zones. If I do go the Horde side, I'm not sure what I would do. Should I go with a mage, which I haven't really played before? Or should I do a warlock, which is kind of like a hunter, only an even easier button, because you also have a huge amount of damage over time spells. So I'm kind of thinking about that, and that'd be any advice you can give me, that'd be great. So I hope that Asheo and April Am talk about that in the next show. I also got an email from someone about my last post about, you know, the pugs. And I just wanted to kind of respond, saying that yeah, you're totally right. Basically, the gist of it was that even though it kind of sucked, that for some people it's really a hobby and it's not a game, and they've invested a lot of time as well, and so they want to make sure they're with people that are, you know, at their same level as them. So I could totally understand if people, you know, say like, look, you need to go practice some more. It's kind of like you can't go to the Olympics unless you've done your time in the preliminaries. But I still hold that there's a good way of talking about that, and there's a not so good way. So inviting someone on and then getting them halfway through and then kicking them out of the instance is the wrong way. Telling someone up front, this is a high, you know, we're all high levels, and we're going to be doing this relatively quickly. Have you had any experience with this? You know, if they had made it clear that they didn't want someone who was brand new, I probably would have left on my own accord. So communication is always the key, especially with a multiplayer game where you're actually dealing with real people. And it's something which I, again, going back to my guild, I found this really, really great with my guild, and that they're very, very communicative, which is great. And that's about all that I've been doing for the last couple of weeks, besides from real life stuff, which has been crazy but good. And I hope that you liked what you heard. And Aprilian and Asheo, thank you again for keeping up the podcast. It's great. And this is Glanther signing off for the Alliance.
It's been real.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.